U.S. Department of Agriculture headquarters in Washington, D.C. Today we're here to talk about USDA's plans to support farmers in response to damage from unjustified retaliation and trade disruptions. I have with me today the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation, Bill Northey, Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs, Greg Ibaugh, Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs, Ted McKinney, Acting Deputy Undersecretary for Food, Nutrition, and Consumer Services, Brandon Lips, USDA's Chief Economist, Rob Johansson, USDA's Trade Counsel, Jason Hafmeister. Everyone will have opening comments, and then we will open it up for questions. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your keypad to get in line. Thanks, and with that, Mr. Secretary, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Stephanie, and thank you all of you for joining us this morning as we discuss this 2019 Market Facilitation Program and support for our agricultural community. I want to begin by thanking President Trump, Ambassador Lighthizer, and Secretary Mnuchin for a very diligent and sincere and good faith negotiations with the Chinese thus far. I think all of us were very hopeful and looking forward to a renewed or a signing of a fair trade deal. Unfortunately, when the Chinese decided late in the game after several visits to renege on many of the commitments they'd already made, to his credit, President Trump immediately directed me to again create a program because he knew that farmers would bear the brunt of this lack of trade deal with China once again. So he's demonstrated his great affection and affinity for America's farmers and ranchers, and he does know that because of the agricultural trade surplus, our farmers and producers, ranchers, are going to bear the brunt of these trade disputes disproportionately. And in fact, I must say editorially, I guess I don't, I've been in agribusiness all my life, and I cannot recall a president that's been more concerned or interested in farmer and agricultural well-being and long-term profitability than President Trump. At USDA, once he directed that very quickly after the talks broke down, and USDA, we've been working very hard to assess those trade damages again, sustained by our farmers over a period of time. The package we're announcing today ensures that farmers will not bear the brunt of those trade practices by China or any other nation. While farmers themselves will tell you they'd rather have trade than aid, without the trade that has been possible, then they're going to need some support from a profitability standpoint. We honestly and sincerely know and believe that it is a food security issue, which leads to a national security issue. So our team at USDA reflected on what worked well last year and what we could have done better when we ran last year's program, and most effectively redesign this program to support farmers over the longer term. That being said, frankly, all of this would have been moot if China had acted appropriately and fairly in many of the areas regarding intellectual property theft and non-tariff barriers that they have put up for many years. The U.S.-China economic relationship is very important, and the Trump administration is still committed to reaching a good deal for agriculture and other American industries as whenever China wants to play by the rules of the WTO and the world economy. So I want to thank you all for joining us. We look forward to answering your questions. And at this time, I'd like to turn it over to USDA's chief economist, Rob Johansson, who will provide comments on how we calculated the trade damage and crafted our package of support for our agricultural community.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary, and thank you all for joining this morning. I'm going to talk a little bit about how the package or the programs that we developed this time is slightly different from last year's program, but the main brushstrokes are roughly the same as they were last year. Of course, this year, as the Secretary mentioned, we are looking at trade damages, not just from this past year's tariffs, but also going back to previous actions by China and some of the other trading partners that are levying these unjustified tariffs on our producers and on our ag trade. So the model that we use to develop the trade damages is the same models we used last year. So again, we're comparing to the difference in trade with the tariffs on our exports as to trade without those tariffs. But we are looking back a number of years to look at what China has purchased from us in the past, and we are bringing that into our baseline for applying those tariffs to. So that does get us to a slightly larger number than we had last year, which is reflected in the $16 billion level that the Secretary mentioned, as opposed to the $12 billion level which we had last year. As I mentioned, the current damage estimate is based on this longer-term analysis of U.S. commodity exports to affected markets and better reflects the increased scope and level of tariff retaliation that has continued after our last estimates were developed. We account for some other variables, such as repeated distortionary trade policies by China and other countries that have contributed to the slow pace of market adjustment and trade that we've seen for agricultural production. So that brings us to the $16 billion level, and we're going to put that into three different types of programs, and the undersecretaries are going to be here to talk more about those details. But just briefly, we're going to have a market facilitation program. Again, this is similar to the market facilitation program we had last year that will provide payments to producers directly. We will have a food purchase and distribution program component whereby FNS and MRP work together, or AMS work together to purchase commodities and move them out through our food assistance channels and programs. And we'll have an agricultural trade promotion program that Undersecretary McKinney will describe for you in a minute. With that, I will turn it over to Undersecretary Northey to talk more about the details surrounding the market facilitation program.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate that. As Rob said, one of the pieces here is a market facilitation program that will provide payments to producers. Those will be delivered through our Farm Service Agency county offices. We have over 2,100 offices around the country. We divide this pool of funds into kind of, again, three different buckets here. We have specialty crops. I'll list those that will get payments. We have some non-specialty crops. That's we think of our grain and oil seeds that will get payments. And then dairy and pork producers as well. So let me list the crops here real quick, and you'll get this in a press release that will come out as well. But some of you, I'm sure, are quite interested in what crops will be covered. In the non-specialty piece, we're looking at a single rate of payment per county based on trade damage. Those crops that will be covered in that non-specialty piece is alfalfa hay, barley, canola, corn, cranberry, dry peas, cotton, extra long staple cotton, flaxseed, lentils, long grain, medium grain rice, mustard seed, dried peas, oats, peanuts, rapeseed, safflower, sesame seed, small and large chickpeas, sorghum, soybeans, sunflower seeds, temperate japonica rice, upland cotton, and wheat. And as I said, we will look at one single payment. Rob has and his team has gone through to look at the trade damage each county is feeling. We then come up and divide that by the acres planted within that county and then have a single payment no matter which of those crops that you plant. Obviously, we're a different time of year than what last year's program was. Last year, we looked at total production. This year, we're still in a place where some producers are making planting decisions, and we need to make sure that folks have the complete flexibility in this challenging planting season to plant what works for them. They need to make the best economic decision. That economic decision will not be impacted by the payment that they receive depending on which production they choose. So one single payment for all those crops I listed, we want to make sure that producers are planting for the market, their own agronomic situation, and encourage folks certainly in this challenging time to not have to worry about what differential payments may be between crops. Second piece is we have dairy and pork producers that have been impacted. Some purchases as well will be done on those products, but we will, like last time, also make a payment to producers. Very similar, we'll choose an inventory range of time for pork. We will look at a previous dairy production for the dairy production number. We're not announcing rates yet, but those will be processed similarly to what we did last year. And then the third piece, we've added some specialty crops to the payment mechanism, including tree nut crops. We did do sweet cherry producers last time. We're adding cranberry producers and grape producers that will receive a payment based on their acres of production in 2019. They will not have a blended rate like we talked about in the first non-specialty crops. It'll be based on each of their on the impact to that commodity times the acres of production. These payments will come out at three different times during the year. We're looking at a first payment coming out in July or August. We're looking at a second payment maybe late fall, maybe November. We're looking at a third payment that may be into early 2020 by the time that third payment is made. Of course, as the Secretary said, we plan and hope to be able to have a trade agreement well before those second and third payments are made. We know we'll make the first payment. The second and third payment will depend on whether we still have damage to our producers or we're able to be celebrating a new trade agreement for those, not only those commodities that are negatively impacted, but those commodities that have some opportunity with a new trade deal as well. So these payments are not designed to be a market loss payment. They are a market facilitation payment. It's not going to perfectly reflect what some producers feel the loss of these markets have been. Of course, that varies from time to time. But they are designed to help producers be able to extend their marketing, maybe pay for storage, look at other flexibilities, and get them to a time when we get back to a trade agreement again. So that's the market facilitation program. That's the $14.5 billion of the $16 billion. I'll turn it over to Greg Ibaugh, Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs, which will talk about the purchase program.
Thank you very much, Undersecretary Northey. My name is Greg Ibaugh, and I would like to talk to you today about the food purchase and distribution program that will be a part of the support for farmers that the President has authorized. We will implement through AMS a $1.4 billion food purchase and distribution program that will, just like last time, purchase surplus commodities affected by trade retaliation. And these commodities will be fruits and vegetables, some processed foods, beef, pork, lamb, poultry, and milk. And we will work with FNS to distribute these products to food banks, schools, and other outlets that help service low-income and hungry individuals. Of course, one of the main purposes of this program is to clear inventories of products that have been impacted by the tariffs. And we've worked closely through the last program with industry groups to design the purchase specifications to target those segments within each commodity that are most directly impacted by the tariffs. We're going to, again, be purchasing in phases like we did last time. This not only helps match up the purchases with the capacity of the food banks, but it allows us to have a variety of products available to hungry citizens for an extended period of time. And, of course, the second big benefit is feeding hungry people and introducing them to maybe perhaps a wider variety of commodities than they're used to being having available to them at a food bank. I'd like to ask Brandon Lips, the acting deputy undersecretary, to be able to address how we work with FNS and how he works with the food banks to distribute these products. Brandon?
Thank you, Undersecretary Ibaugh. I want to reiterate some of what he said. Certainly, the Trade Mitigation Food Purchase and Distribution Program launched last fall has purchased and delivered top-quality domestically grown foods to millions of Americans in need through the FNS Nutrition Assistance Programs. These products have been used extensively in the local food banks and pantries throughout this country that participate in the USDA Emergency Food Assistance Program, and will also benefit others through the National School Lunch Program and the Food Distribution Program on Indian Reservations. In many cases, we've been able to offer through this program a number of products that are not regularly available to recipients of these programs through our normal channels. This ongoing program will continue to support both American producers and the millions of Americans who rely on nutrition assistance when facing difficult circumstances. The Food and Nutrition Service at USDA is excited to continue working with AMS as we support farmers through this process to feed Americans in need through partnerships with local food banks and schools throughout this country. I'm going to turn it over now to Undersecretary McKinney.
Yes, thank you, Brandon. So the last segment of this program I want to share with you about is called the Ag Trade Promotion Program, ATP. That should be familiar from last year's program. And the value of $100 million additional dollars is being dedicated all with the express purpose of developing, enhancing, and growing new markets. You might recall that on the program last year, we had some $600 million or so dollars of requests from our many cooperators. These cooperators transcend every crop, commodity, livestock, poultry, all of it. And the desire was to make sure that they targeted those monies to either reestablish markets that might have been in trouble, but also to develop new markets. And they were outstanding in their quality. So this now allows an additional $100 million on top of the $200 million in ATP funds a year ago to allow these many cooperators to continue to advance and do the creativity, the marketing, and build new markets around the world. So that's fairly straightforward because it's so familiar to many of you. I think at this point we'll turn it over to questions that those of you on the line might have.
And anyone wishing to ask a question, please press star 1 on your keypad to get in line. The first question comes to us from Josh Zumbrun from Wall Street Journal. Josh, please go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, thanks so much for doing this call. I wondered if you could address the funding mechanism that's in play here. It sounds like it's using the CCC, which doesn't seem to be using tariff revenue in any sort of direct way. Can you talk about the funding for this and why it's being characterized as tariff revenue if it's in fact just the CCC, same as last year?
I'll be happy to answer that, Josh. Certainly, you're correct. It is using CCC funds.
After the tone, please state your name. Thank you.
We'll come back out and replenish the CCC as it does every year. So you can, while legally you can't direct tariff payments into agriculture, that's what the president feels like China is paying for this program. For our ag supporters and our ag producers out of the tariff revenue that we'll be gaining from the tariffs on China.
The next question comes to us from Catherine Boudreau from Politico. Catherine, please go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, my question. I was wondering if you could go into a little more detail about how the direct payments will be, what the design of the direct payments are. And I guess I'm just wondering if there's any concern that maybe lower value crops could potentially skew, I guess, the amount of money that the county gets, even though they might be more affected by the trade war.
Our goal, obviously, is to – I'll let Dr. Johansson answer the question based on the format. But the goal, obviously, from our perspective, is that we want producers around America to produce for as they would without any government program. We don't want them to skew planting intentions or any other types of policies and things that they would do. We want them to act this spring just as they would have acted without any program. And yet President Trump wants to knows that they'll bear the brunt, so he wants to support them in this way.
Yes, that's right. And I'll just add a couple things, and I think Undersecretary Northey may want to add too. You know, of course, we wanted to make these payments available to producers without having them look at the payments and change their planning decisions based on those rates. So we have a one-county payment rate. It will differ by counties. And certainly producers can decide to plant whatever commodity they decide meets their operation, and they will get a payment accordingly, regardless of which crop that is. Certainly the trade damage amounts that we're calculating translate into the county damages that lead to those rates. And one thing we did hear from producers from last time around was that there were a number of commodities were indirectly affected by the tariffs. It wasn't necessarily just, for example, the tariffed commodities that were feeling the damage from the unjustified retaliatory tariffs. And so by using this mechanism, we are able to also provide other commodities that are planted that are also affected by the tariffs an ability to receive support.
Let me just add and emphasize again, we want to make sure that producers in this very challenging spring that they find themselves in and finishing up their planting get to be able to make that decision without having to take into consideration how much payments would be from crop to crop. This is going to be one single payment rate for each county for each of the planted acres in that county. And it will vary from county to county, but if you choose to plant one crop versus another, you need to do that on your own agronomic or economic situation, not because you think there's going to be a different payment rate for a different crop. So it is a mechanism that's going to be fairly easy for folks to be able to understand. It's also going to be fairly straightforward for us to be able to implement. Of course, there'll be questions, and we'll work through the questions. We'll have more information coming later. It's going to be very understandable for a producer to be able to understand what that payment rate is in that county, and they won't have to look at it from crop to crop across the county or different rates from different commodities.
The next question comes to us from Chris Clayton of DTN. Chris, please go ahead with your question.
My question, following up on that, Secretary Northey, what's the range of payments going to look like per county then?
There will be a range. We're not releasing all those payment numbers now. You can appreciate that that we have several different mechanisms we need to go through here in other approval processes, that we have a rule going through OMB, other pieces. So it will vary from county to county depending on the commodities produced in those counties. Certainly, you know, there are commodities that are planted in one county more than another, and they're impacted to a greater degree. But within each county, that number will be the same. You can look overall as well and see that the total amount in this bucket is bigger than what it was the last time around. Of course, we added some commodities as well. So last time we had up to $10 billion or so in this bucket, about $8.5 billion went to producers. We have about $14.5 billion in this bucket as well. So certainly it will be very significant for producers and very important to be able to help them get through this challenging time.
Again, for journalists, anyone wishing to ask a question, please press star 1 on your keypad to get in line. The next question comes from Betsy Klein of CNN. Betsy, please go ahead with your question.
Hey, this is Jeremy Diamond with CNN. I'm here along with Betsy. Quick question for you guys. So what percentage do you estimate at this point of the tariffs that the U.S. will take in this year, will that $16 billion amount to? And secondly, I'm wondering if USDA has further explored the president's idea of buying farm produce and shipping it to poor countries. Thank you.
Sure. I think initial indications are that maybe 15% of the tariff revenue will go to this program. And with your second question, certainly that was contemplated initially. when President Trump learned of the inefficiency and the logistics challenges of distribution worldwide, as far as the potential market disruption within many of these countries, he understood that to be and really wanted the revenue to go into American producers' pockets where the challenge is, rather than any other avenue.
The next question goes to Humaira Pamuk from Reuters. Humaira, please go ahead with your question.
Thank you very much for doing this call. I just wanted to clarify, because the payment system is a little bit different from last time. Last time you guys had a single rate per commodity. This time you don't have that. You have a single rate per county based on your assessment of the trade damage in there. That's correct, right?
Yes, that's correct, Amira.
Question goes to Mike Dorning from Bloomberg News. Mike, please go ahead with your question.
Two related questions. One, under this rate, would a farmer get the same amount of money whether he planted nothing or planted a full crop in his field? And number two, the rates per county, will that be based on trade damage by commodity? I like $2 a bushel for soybeans or whatever. Will that county rate be based on specific trade damage computed by commodity?
Thanks for the question. The first question is you will not receive payments if you do not plant. So the payments are based on reported plantings at the county office. For the second, the trade damages are calculated based on, as I said earlier, a longer-term assessment of trade distortions and tariff rates, and more details will be forthcoming in the rule.
The next question comes from Kara Hart from Red River Farm Network. Kara, please go ahead with your question.
And actually, I wanted to clarify something with Undersecretary Bill Northey. A few things, actually. But first, Bill, I didn't hear canola mentioned in the market facilitation program. If they aren't included, why not? And then my follow-up is, you mentioned that a lot of this work is being done on the local level at FSA. Do you have the staff in place to do that?
Good questions, Kara. Canola is included, so canola growers would receive an acre payment similar to other growers in that county, corn or soybeans or other growers as well. Same payment rate as other crops planted in that county. Yeah, it is a challenge to be able to deliver a program like this. We stood up last year's program. One of the considerations, both for producers and for our staff, is to make it very easy to understand and easy to implement, and have a limited amount of information that a producer needs or has to supply to be able to qualify for the program and understand what they need to provide to the county office. So we are stretching our folks thin, but they care a lot about being able to serve our farmers out there. I hear from our folks in the country as I get around, they're concerned about the economic situation. They're certainly concerned in many areas about the planning situation right now. We'll have acreage reports. We'll have a dairy margin coverage program. We have some other programs out there that we'll deliver, and we'll sure get those done. We have a very dedicated staff dedicated to our farmers.
The next question comes from Jerry Hagstrom with the Hagstrom Report. Please, Jerry, go ahead with your question.
Good afternoon. You mentioned that this is being based on a longer period of time rather than just the damage from the actions by China last year and by a wider variety of countries. Can you tell me what period of years are you now basing this on, and what countries are you including besides China?
Hi, Jerry. Thanks for the question. We're basing it on a longer period of time, as you noted. And again, those details will be coming out in the rulemaking. As far as the countries we're looking at, these would be the ones that have current tariffs on our exports, which would be right now China, EU, and Turkey. We do not include Canada and Mexico in these calculations.
the next
area rather than a snapshot of just 2017, which the first market facilitation program was. We looked at what the history of exports to China had been over a period of years. Rather than taking a snapshot, we tried to take a longer-term average in looking at the damage.
The next question comes to us from James Politi from Financial Times. James, please go ahead with your question.
Hi there. Since the first payment is scheduled for July or August, I'm wondering if the assumption then is that there cannot be a trade deal before then, and you know what happens if an agreement is struck in the interim.
Well, again, I think the anticipation, while we would love a trade deal in that period of time, and I assume President Trump will visit with President Xi at the G20 and Japan, but that will be late June. It'll be very difficult to understand how a trade deal could be consummated prior to that first payment and our first tranche there, although we would always be hopeful of that. I think, again, I would look at more of the first tranche being more of a certainty this time, and then the second and third tranches be dependent on progress we make on our trade discussions and hopefully a deal.
The next question comes to us from Bill Thompson with AgriPulse. Bill, please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, thank you. The MFP, the Market Facilitation Program, is going to be broken up into three different payments, only one of which is certain. Can you give me a scope on the size of that? Will it be completely three equal payments? So if the total was for MFP was 14.5, I think you said, so it would be completely even, but only one is guaranteed. I just want to make sure I understood that correctly. And the other thing is, will the purchases, are all the purchases guaranteed, or will that be in the same vein?
Bill, it will probably be heavily more skewed toward the first payment, although the specific details and amounts are still being worked out with OMB regarding the level and degree of the different tranches there. But the same thing would hold true for the market, so the market procurement program as well. Again, these are dynamic situations. While, you know, farmers would rather have trade than aid, if we don't get trade, they need aid, and that's what it is. If we get trade, then we'll see how the market responds and make the calls at those particular times. But initially, the initial tranche will probably be more heavily skewed on the front end, and depending on the latter two tranches, based on what the market dictates and what the trade relationship is at that point in time.
The next question comes to us from Rita Frazier from RFD Radio. Rita, please go ahead with your question.
Thank you and good morning. You had mentioned the payment structure and the first payments potentially going out in July or August. You talked about the rulemaking process. How soon will the counties be privy to this information, or you know, when will they know the kind of the rate structure or the information?
Well, here again, we have to operate by rules and regulations here, and those are submitted to OMB. There will be comments there, and the planning intentions are designed to be submitted by July the 15th, which is a reason that we think we can get these back out in the end of July and August. But that would be the time period that we would be looking at on the payments, if that answers your question.
And the next question comes to us from Stephanie Du from CNBC. Stephanie, please go ahead with your question.
I wanted to clarify, it's $14.5 billion in the payments to producers, $1.4 billion for the food purchase distribution, and $600 million in trade promotion assistance. Is that correct?
It's $100 million for the ag trade promotion, which is your market diversification program. Yeah.
The next question, this is the final question. The next question comes from Stephanie Ebbs at ABC News. Stephanie, please go ahead with your question.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I have just two things that I'd like to ask and clarify. Can you explain again how China is paying for the aid? Because my understanding is that I'm a little unclear on what money from China is going into the Treasury versus what American companies and consumers are paying. And then secondly, the Secretary said this morning on Fox Business that you thought China was trying to wait out the administration in terms of making a deal. If that's the case, will the department have to consider another round of aid for farmers if there isn't a deal in the next year or so? Thank you.
Your last question first, that depends on China. We would love for China to come to the table any time. We've made great progress in that regard, and when they decided to renege on those commitments and relitigate those commitments that we had, it looked like China was operating in the same way they'd operated over a number of years. So that remains to be seen, but it's really in China's court, to determine. Regarding the revenue from tariffs, that by statute is designed to go directly into the Treasury. But frankly, we know that things that go into the Treasury, money comes out of the Treasury to replenish the funds going into CCC on an annual basis. So it's not a direct. The tariff money won't go directly to this program, but it goes indirectly by going into the Treasury and then appropriate it out of the Treasury back into the CCC, which funds this program.
Thank you. Thanks to everyone on the line, and thanks to everyone here in the studio. For more information, you can always go online to usda.gov. This is Stephanie Ho from USDA headquarters in Washington, D.C., wishing everyone a terrific day.